Hello, this is Laura Rebelkian, and today on Azure Friday, I have Brendan Burns with me, and we're going to talk through some of the great news that we have with Azure Kubernetes Service. Brendan, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So at Azure, I really focus on developer and DevOps experience for containers and for people who are deploying and automating deployment of their infrastructure to Azure. A lot of that is work with a lot of open source tools, including Kubernetes, tools that work on top of Kubernetes, as well as delivering the managed Azure Kubernetes service.
Fantastic, fantastic. So we have a lot of great news to share. What would you like to start with?
Well, so I'm really excited about some of the stuff that we are announcing today that is really building off of a lot of the work and momentum that we had and talked about in the Build conference. So at Build a few weeks ago, we talked about Container Insights, this new sort of logging and monitoring solution that's integrated into the Azure portal, some new work that we've done to make it easier with the portal to create a Kubernetes cluster. And I'm going to demo some of that today. But in addition to all that work, we've actually also just lit up general availability for a bunch of new regions for the Azure Kubernetes service, bringing our total to 10 regions around the world. So now you can run Kubernetes using the Azure Kubernetes service in Australia, in a bunch of regions in the US, in Europe. That really means that whether you're deploying an application worldwide or you're a worldwide company, you can use Azure and Kubernetes to manage your infrastructure. So we're really excited about that. But in addition to those regions, we're also adding some new features really around, I think, some core enterprise scenarios. So adding in resource-based access control, using Azure Active Directory-based identities. So that means the same identity that gives you access to your docs, that gives you access to your email, can be used to give you access to your Kubernetes cluster. The same groups that people may use to manage their teams can be used to manage access to a Kubernetes cluster. Additionally, the ability to take a Kubernetes cluster and place it into a virtual network that's already been created. In many cases, there are networks that are specific to an enterprise, either because there's a direct connection between the internal network of the enterprise to Azure, or virtual private networks, or other sorts of scenarios that previously you couldn't use a Kubernetes cluster for on Azure. Now you can. Now you can deploy that cluster into this custom network that maybe the networking team has set up for you.
Great.
So, yeah.
Great. And that's a lot of news.
Yes. Yeah.
Where can we go to learn more details about each of these items?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a little bit of a blog that I posted up that's been posted up to the Azure blog, talking about this, talking about as well a lot of the community contributions that we've made. Because we don't just build features. We really want to make Kubernetes run awesome on Azure, but we also kind of want to broaden the space of tooling for Kubernetes in general.
Right.
I really think it's important that this technology be approachable and available to developers, sort of no matter where their skill level is. And so parts of my team are focused pretty completely on developing open source tooling that makes it easier to use Kubernetes wherever you're running it.
And you yourself, you're one of the top contributors to Kubernetes.
Yeah, I do a lot of open source work. I will say, actually, lately, the work has been about really kind of helping with governance. And I think as the community has gotten bigger and bigger, we've realized that we need to actually have formal structure in place. We need to have ways that people can figure out how they can join. I think when it was a smaller thing, it was a little bit easier, a little bit more ad hoc. But now with thousands of people, I was just checking actually, there's something like 40,000 people up on our chat channels. It's something that needs a degree of management that we hadn't had before. And so there's been a lot of work over the last year in kind of figuring out how do we want to set up this community for the next 4 or 5 years or 10 years or beyond.
Because it's grown very fast.
It's grown really fast. Yeah. And I think that like anything that grows really fast, our processes don't necessarily keep up, haven't necessarily kept up. And we've invested really heavily lately in things like docs so that people can understand how to contribute, in sort of figuring out how we delegate and yet maintain oversight so that we understand what literally the thousands of people who are working on this on a daily or weekly basis are doing, and making sure that they don't feel like their effort is wasted, that they're working with other people who are working on similar things. It's actually been fascinating. I've never really done anything like this before.
Right.
I've contributed a lot, and I've done smaller projects, but to do an open source project this big, it's honestly pretty unique. I'm actually not sure there's an open source project like it. So it's been a really fascinating learning experience.
Great experience.
Yeah, great experience.
So let's go back to Azure.
Sure.
What you've done with helping basically make Kubernetes super accessible for a large number of users and customers with Azure. Do you have something you'd like to show us?
Yeah, sure. So I'm gonna show you a couple different things. One is the create flow here. So if you go to the Azure portal, and you wanted to create a Kubernetes cluster, it's there's a lot of different things you might need to do: create virtual machines, create networks, all of this sort of stuff. But actually, we've gone and we've made it a little bit easier. So I can demonstrate that flow right now. So here we go. We can go over to develop the Kubernetes service, and I can say create. And now we're dropped into this sort of really what's oriented like a wizard, so people can really kind of go through and fill in the information they need, but not get lost necessarily in the details of it. I can give the cluster a name, like. And it gives you, you just saw there, if I put a space, it's telling me that I can't have an underscore in there. So I'll go like there, and I have a name that works. And it does things like create the service principle for you that you need in order to create the cluster. So a lot of the things where people had gotten hung up in the past, we've done a bunch of work. And I'm not going to step through the entire wizard. People might get a little bit bored. But
but it gives you a lot of options flexibility.
Right, and like pretty easy if you want to scale up the number of machines, you can scale the cluster size. There's a lot of different options for figuring out how to configure it to match your needs.
Right.
And so that's one piece that we make it easier for people to get started because just with a few clicks, they can have a Kubernetes cluster up and running. In other environments, it can be significantly harder to just get to that place. And really, that's what's important, I think, because most people don't actually care about the creating. They care about what they can do once it's available.
And the creating can take a lot of time just to manage and get
Stood and,
up.
And I think in addition to just creating, there's things like upgrade, right? So with one command line or one click, you can upgrade your cluster when a new version comes out with new features or security fixes. I think upgrade is actually almost as important. Or scaling up, you've become successful at this project that you're building is becoming successful. You need a bigger cluster to host it. Click a few buttons or command line or even script it from an automated rollout system, and you can scale up your cluster or scale it down if there isn't, it's night and there isn't activity. So there's a lot of things that make just the management of the cluster. The Azure Kubernetes service is really a managed service, and that management makes it easier for people to use the system and focus on building their application.
Right. So we create a cluster. We've got lots of region availability anywhere around the world.
Yep.
And in addition, what are some of the other features that
you've
added
things,
into this?
I think that one of the other things that we want to do is we want to make sure that Kubernetes is useful for people, not just individual developers, but actually people in larger settings potentially, right? So one of the things that we're really excited about doing is we've actually integrated Azure Active Directory into Kubernetes at this point. So this means that it used to be the way you logged in, you had a separate sort of account and a separate password. Now you can actually use your Active Directory identity that you use for email and for your Word docs and everything else to log into your Kubernetes cluster. So I can show that right here. So if I run, this is just a standard kubectl command. And what you see here is, if you've ever used the AZ CLI, it's the same kind of experience. Mm-hmm. It's asking me now to go and punch in this code to the device login page. And if I go in here, it's going to ask me to prompt through. I'm going to say I want to use my Microsoft account. Gives me the things that the application wants to have access to. I'm going to accept that. And at this point, now I've logged in, and now that the command line tool has the credentials that are associated with my, my Beaverns and Microsoft account.
That's
right?
Great. It's just like the Azure login.
That means not only, and it's great for individual identities. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have a different identity from a cluster. But I think even more importantly, you can use things like groups and other things to organize access to the cluster.
And so with the groups, you have different roles you can set up.
Different roles. You know, you can, as team members come and go, you don't have to change anything. You just add and remove them from the group. That's going to cover, you know, permissions to access Azure resources, permissions to access Kubernetes resources. It just really simplifies the task of managing access for people in a group setting. But then, of course, in addition to access, it's also really important to enable people to sort of view and visualize and debug their application.
Without a doubt.
And so once people have deployed applications in Kubernetes, we actually make it pretty easy in the portal to monitor. I can give you an example of that. So I have over here a Kubernetes cluster that I've created. And what you can see here is I have these panes, which give you access to container health or to the Kubernetes dashboard or to search logs. I'll drop into the container health here. And what you can see now is we've got the machines that are in my cluster. I've got a three-node cluster, and it's giving me things like, what's the CPU average, right? So I can see which machine is using more, both as a number and actually visualized over here. And then if I drill into one of these machines, I can actually see the containers that are running on that that are running on that machine, and actually the CPU that they're using, and I can actually, and how long, you know, how long they've been up for, and things like that. I can actually drop down into the application itself, and I can go over and I can view the logs for that application, and now I'm actually seeing the standard out from the application that's running. So not only can I see how much, you know, CPU that's using, but I can actually also see messages that my program is writing the standard out. So I can, you know, see something like, hey, this container is using a ton of CPU, I wonder why.
Right.
Drop through there, look at the logs, explore what it's printing, and see maybe all the error messages that it's printing out or any other kind of diagnostic information that I've added. So I think this kind of integration, not just with things like Azure Active Directory, but also with the Azure portal for visualization and debugging, really makes it easier for developers not just to create Kubernetes clusters, but successfully run their applications on top of Kubernetes.
Right. Super important to have visibility around the issues that are happening and an easy path to get to solving for those issues.
Right, absolutely. So that's a huge part of it.
Great. Is there anything more you'd like to show?
Sure. Well, I mean, the last piece of it, I think, is how you can do, you know, development with Kubernetes. And so one of the things my teams have been focused on, and this is something that isn't Azure specific, it really goes anywhere, is integrating Kubernetes with Visual Studio Code. And so if we go over and we launch up code, something that you'll see over here, and maybe I'll zoom in a little bit, make it a little bit more visible. Something that you'll see over here is I now have access to my Kubernetes cluster inside of the Visual Studio Code, right? And so I can actually go and find out more information about, you know, all of the different features that are, or sorry, all of the different objects and resources that are inside of that cluster. I can drill into them. I can do things like right-click and view the logs. And
so
really,
you have access to the logs right from code as well.
It goes right into the terminal for code,
Fantastic.
Right? So it's an interactive experience. You can see your code at the same time as you're exploring. So I think, you know, the portal logging experience is great. If you get paged in the middle of the night, you don't want to fire up code. You want to go to a you know, an aggregation site. Here, if you're actually doing, you know, development work.
And testing
and things like that, you want to be able to see your code and the messages from that container in the same context. And so I think providing the right context for the right scenario really helps developers understand how to build applications as well as how to run those applications.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
I love this. Thanks for coming on the show, Brendan.
Absolutely.
We've been learning all about Azure Kubernetes Service on Azure Friday.